Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. I'd like to welcome a number of our members back into town. We've had a number of people out of town, either on vacation, unfortunately, at some funerals of loved ones, some on business. I'd like to welcome you back. I'd like to welcome our visitors. We have some visitors, some from within town that have just moved here, some visitors from out of state, and we extend a very special welcome to you. You are our honored guest today and hope that your time worshiping us with us will be pleasing to God. Passing on some information, Ray and Linda made it to Kansas just fine, made it Friday, and we wish them the best luck as they start a new chapter in their life in Kansas, closer to family. They've worshiped here in the Las Vegas Valley for decades, and we wish them the best. We're going to look today at the scripture reading that was read earlier by Russell. Become as little children. Now, what does that mean? You know, to become like little children, easily distracted. You know, I kind of fulfilled this verse myself, you know, being like little children. Kids are easily distracted. I got talking to Daryl while I was filling the communion cups, and Daryl got stuck with a communion tray that had no fruit of the vine in it. And so for those of you that got handed an empty tray, I was becoming like little children, sometimes easily distracted. Little children that can fall asleep at the drop of a hat. No, it's not talking about that. The setting is found in Matthew 18. And if you would, let's turn there. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 4. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had... Of course, he was Jesus, had the greatest way to answer questions. And we see the question here. A lot of the teaching that Jesus did came as a result of questions. Questions about heaven, questions about the kingdom, questions about forgiveness, questions about who's greatest. And here it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? This is a lesson all by itself. What they were concerned about. Bucking for position. Who's going to be the greatest? Was it James and John's mother was asking Jesus that her sons could sit on his right and on his left. Isn't that just a worldly concern right here? But the question was, they wanted to know who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he responds. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted. There's some change that needs to take place here. Conversion. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He spells it out very clear. They ask him the question. They're really concerned about worldly issues. You know, they are kind of feeling, yeah, we're the chosen ones of Jesus. And who's going to be the greatest? He brings a little child to answer them, sets him in the midst, and says, unless you are converted, unless you change, unless you change and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. This shoots down this idea that many in the world have that, oh, God loves everybody and everybody's going to make it to heaven. We're just getting there in different ways. No, you have to be like a little child to make it to the kingdom of heaven. And he says, whoever humbles himself. We were talking about this today in Dick's Bible class from the book of Philippians. And if you're not in the habit of coming to Sunday morning Bible class, I urge you to do so. A personal invitation. Come to our Sunday morning Bible class. We have Bible classes for the children. We have two adult classes. And that is a very well spent 45 minutes. Amen. It really is. And if you're not in the habit, I urge you to get in the habit. There's nothing, you know, I don't think you'll find any fault in studying the Bible. It says, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus compares to his disciples that you've got to be like little children. And, you know, when you think of children, he says, be like them. You know, that you cry a lot if you're an infant. That it's easy to fall asleep. I wish I could do that. I wish I could put my head down and be out. I can't do that. Children are humble. Jesus even said, unless you humble yourself as a child. Children are humble by nature. Most of the bad qualities that children develop over time are learned. They are learned by seeing it in others. There is not a child that is born prejudiced. There is not a child that is born greedy. There's not a child that is born thinking as an infant that he's better than the parents. Amen. They learn those lessons. Children are for the most part humble. They're trusting. These are some qualities that Jesus is saying we need to have more like children. They're loving, forgiving. They're pure and innocent. I tell you, well, you know, I love little kids. I'd rather be around kids than adults most of the time. They're fun. They don't have the drama. They're fun to be around. They need to be taught. Kids you can't expect them to know without teaching them. And these are some qualities that we need to be like little children. Humble. James 4:10 reads, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humility. It takes humility to even become a Christian. To set that pride aside, that awful world, arrogant pride, and humble yourself to realize that you've got sin in your life. If you don't get to that point, you will never turn to the Lord. You will never realize that you need God. Amen. For salvation. You've got to be humble. And the result, He will lift you up. He's not going to lift up arrogance and pride, but the humble. Children are trusting. You look at little children, and I love this. You can't quite see it as well. The baby's got a big old grin from ear to ear. Somebody throw, well, I don't know of anybody that could throw me up in the air. I'm going to be scared. Kids love that. And they trust that you're going to catch them. Where have they ever? They trust you. That you're going to throw them up in the air and that you're going to catch them. But kids are trusting. We as adults and as Christians have to be trusting. We have to have faith in God. If we did not have faith, there would be no reason to even be here today. I'm sure every one of us have probably 200 or 300 things we could be doing right now. But we have faith in God, and that faith brings us here. That belief and the faith in God the Father. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Have you been one of those, and if you're not, I'm sure you've seen those, that they spend a good portion of their life trying to do it themselves. Banging their head against the wall, I can do it. I don't need help. You've got to have help. And you've got to believe that who you're turning to for help will be there. Trust in the Lord, not on your own understandings. The ways of the world, your own understanding will fail you. It has failed me numerous times, but never trusting in the Lord. Jesus says, you've got to become like little children. They are loving. Children are loving. They share. They don't care what shirt you're wearing. They don't care if you're mismatched. Kids are loving. They play on swings together. They share their ice cream. Romans 12:9, Paul writes, let love be without hypocrisy. And isn't that one of the big themes that Jesus talked about, especially in comparing things to the scribes and the Pharisees? Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Hate evil. Cling to what is good. We need to be like little children. Forgiving. I love little children, how they can have a fight over something, and 15 minutes later, they're playing again together. Best buddies. They got in an argument over the blue truck. And minutes later, they are playing. They're best buddies again. I've seen adults carry grudges for decades. Decades. I'm not budging. They were wrong. And maybe that person was wrong in what they've done. But to carry that grudge does you so much more harm than them. Amen. Jesus said, be like children. Children are forgiving. You lose your temper with them, maybe spout off to them undeservingly, they're loving you 15 minutes later. You spank them because they needed it. Later, they're still loving you. They're forgiving. Matthew 18, just a few verses later in the chapter where we were, in verse 21 it says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?'" Peter had a legitimate question. And probably, in Peter's mind, he's probably being a very big person. Should I forgive my brother seven times if he does the same offense to me? I picture Peter thinking, I'm pretty mature. Forgiving somebody seven times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Now, every time I've ever heard this verse ever used, I think every preacher I've ever heard has agreed Jesus is not saying 490 times. And on the 491st time, then you can hold the grudge. That's not what Jesus is saying. If you've got to keep track of how many times you're forgiving them, you're not forgiving them. You forgive them and move on. Forgiveness does not mean to be a doormat and let them walk all over you continually. But you can forgive somebody for an offense and at least not carry it with you. You carry that grudge with you, it is poison. Poison to your soul. Heard a preacher once say, "Nobody is worth going to hell for." Amen. Nobody. And I don't care what they've done to you. And they may be the offender. They may have done something to you that is so outrageously wrong. They will have to answer for that. But you know what? Is it worth going to hell by carrying that grudge and letting that poison brew and stew inside you just because you can't forgive them? Doesn't mean to forgive that you have to just lay yourself open to be done to it again, but we do have to forgive people. And children are masters at that. They are pure and innocent. I think that's one of the reasons I enjoy children so much. They haven't been jaded by the world. And you know what I'm talking about. The longer you live, you get slapped around by the world once in a while. You have obstacles set in front of you. You have disappointments. You just get slapped in the face by life. Not necessarily anybody out to get you. It's just life. Little children are pure. They're innocent. Sin hasn't crept up on them yet. Sin hasn't tore them down and made them ugly. In 1 John 1 verse 7, the Apostle John wrote, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light," talking about Jesus, "we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." That is how we can be like children, pure and innocent. There's not one of us that's not going to stumble. there's not one of us that's not going to fall. There's not one of us that's not going to stub our toe once in a while. But it starts out there, but if. That's a big word. Two little letters. If. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. The benefits of that. If we're walking in the light like Jesus is, the benefit is we have fellowship with one another. But if we're not, we're not part of the kingdom. We're not part of the people that are in God's light. And the greatest benefit, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can remain, at least in God's eyes, pure and innocent like children. Pure and innocent without that darkness, ugliness of sin on us. We also need to be taught. Little children, you just don't... Okay, here's the bike. Have fun. Here's math. Here's a math book. Here's a pencil and paper. Good luck. Let me know how it turns out. Children need to be taught. They learn everything. They learn everything from others. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 in the Old Testament says, "You shall teach them," talking about the word and the commandments of God, "you shall teach them diligently to your children." Not, okay, the Bible, we'll leave the Bible here on the kitchen table. If you ever want to look, it's right here. Teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. In other words, it is a way of life. You're teaching your children the commands and the Word of God. And you're living it. Not just in the house. Not just when we come to worship assembly. Putting our best on. When you're in your house, you're living it. When you walk by the way, when you're out of the house and others can see you, you're showing it to others also. When you lie down and when you rise up, you're teaching your children. Is there anything greater that we could teach our children more than the Word of God and how to live it? We as parents, we teach our children how to ride bikes, how to play with toys, how to throw a baseball, how to do lots of things. But is there anything greater that you could teach them other than the Word of God and how to live by it? That will carry them all their life and into the next. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, the Apostle Peter addresses, he says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." I think of my son when he was an infant, when he was a baby. When he wanted to eat, he wanted to eat. And he made no bones about that he wanted to eat. He could suck that bottle down faster than, I mean, you could just see it, him draining that bottle. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. Do we desire the Word like that? Do we read our Bibles? Do we learn from it? Or is it that book on the shelf that you know you've got it there and it's listed grandma's birthday and anniversary and you got dusted off once in a while? Or do we use it as newborn babes, desiring the pure milk of the Word? And in closing, I'd like to look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, do you not know? This whole lesson started out with the disciples wanted to know who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This addresses who will be in the kingdom of heaven. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. You better, listen up on this. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Case closed, period. That's it. They will not. Don't be deceived by what the world tells you. Verse 11. And such were some of you. Some were such as you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were washed in baptism, and the blood of God's Son cleansed us from our sin, and we became pure and innocent, not ugly, covered with sin. We were washed and became, had the opportunity to become like children again. If you're not baptized, you have that opportunity to do that today. Those of us that have been baptized, that have been washed, if there's sin in our lives, we have to repent. We have to turn from that and walk in the light as He is in the light. And not only do we have fellowship with each other, but the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. Amen. From all sin. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, if you need to be baptized, if you need to repent of sins, if you have need of prayer, one of the benefits of being washed and walking in light, we have fellowship with each other and the power of prayer of each other. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you would like to identify with us as working with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need is, please come forward while Steve leads us in the invitation song.